Carol just said that she couldn't get audio. Huh? Carol Pendergast said that she wasn't getting audio.
Yeah,
perfect.
Yeah.
Yep. Unmuted.
We're unmuted. Well,
there you go, Carol.
Yeah. Can you hear us okay, Walt?
Yes, indeed. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes. Walt, before we begin, I wanted to get your advice on the whether it's necessary or not to read Appendix C, opening statement on quasi-judicial land use. We have one comment here that, you know, this is a continuance, so we maybe just can continue on the strength of the first time I read it.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
In fact, that's the whole intent. You have a couple of options, though, how to run. I could simply provide a brief summary of the meeting last month, then allow the applicant, proponents, and opponents to speak, close the public testimony, and deliberate.
Okay. Let's. That sounds good. Let me just go through the agenda here and make it official. We'll get started here. So let's have a roll call. We'll just start with you, Sue.
Richardson here.
Otchkins here.
Carl here.
Moore here.
Corbin here.
Very good. This is a continuance of a public hearing or a development permit application. Also a regular meeting of the Planning Commission. I think we'll go with your agenda now, your outline now, Walt. So if you want to give a summary, please go ahead.
Sure. Okay. Good evening, everyone. This is a continuation of case design review 22-1. Briefly note this, this property is zoned C3. Applicant is looking to build a gas station with a four pumps. There will also be a 5,000 square foot convenience store. I'll just note for the record, appears that the roof height is about 19 feet, 16 feet of clearance. Again, this property, I think we know where it is, but just for the record, it's located on the corner of First and Maple. The convenience store will be located on the west side of the building. And the building also includes a drive-through located on the north side. Just for the record, this site formerly contained a gas station. Station was closed and demolished with the gas tanks properly remediated. Per our code, an auto service station is allowed in the C3 zone. Also, per our code, permits retail uses based on the applicable subsections. The proposal is an allowed use in the C3 zone. Also, this process requires a submittal of a development plan for the Planning Commission to review, and we're certainly following that process with the previous and current hearing. Again, noted, we opened this in September, and there was some general discussion, but the commission voted to continue it to hear additional testimony, receive additional information. I will note just briefly here that based on my September report, the site again is located in the C3 zone. With regard to the proposed layout for the underlying C3 zone requirements, everything is met. The building meets those setbacks, the height limitations, all the parking requirements, meets access requirements, etc. My only issue at that point is really, I don't think the drive-through is well-designed. It will cause traffic interference with First Street. And that's my only issue. However, as noted, this site is also within the Central Business District overlay. And within the overlay, there are far more restrictive standards on how a site can be developed. I will note for the record that based on these standards, the site fails to meet the requirements. For example, along Maple Street, there is a 0-foot setback. And that's certainly not the case here. Also, there is no parking allowed between the building and Maple Street, and that's certainly not the case here. I think the building is relatively attractive with wood and brick exterior, but it's hard to say, and I doubt it is of similar design of other buildings along Maple Street, which the code requires. Now, I will note for the record that the Planning Commission, even though we have these standards for the Central Business District, has the authority to waive or modify these standards. And I will just point out section 10.46.070A. The modification is necessary to provide design flexibility where conditions unique to the site require such modification, or the parcel shape or configuration precludes compliance with provisions, or a modification is necessary to preserve trees and other natural features. The other thing too is that you also need to find that even if you modify these standards, the specific design is still substantially in compliance with the intent and purpose of the overlay zone. So I'm just going to summarize the issue here briefly. With regard to the layout for the C3 zone, meets all the requirements. As I said, my only issue is the drive-through that has to do with stacking and potential impacts on First. The problem is this layout does not comply with the C3 Central Business District requirements. Again, the Planning Commission is welcome to modify those if they see fit. In my September report, which is part of the packet, I did provide some potential findings that you might want to use. But that's really, I think, the core here, whether or not this service station and convenience store are consistent with the Central Business District requirements. I'll just close by noting that if approved, staff has put a list together of recommended conditions for the Planning Commission to consider. And with that, that closes the staff presentation.
Well, I picked out a key phrase here that the modifications would need to be in compliance with the intent of the overlay.
Correct.
We would need to think to ourselves in clear conscience that these modifications that we would make, extreme modifications in this case to setbacks,
mm-hmm.
would be in compliance with the intent. That's
you have to make
a difficult reach.
Well, again, I would concur with that assessment, and I just want to know, you know, just again emphasize the issue is not the underlying C3 zone. The issue is compliance with the Central Business District requirements. I gave it my best shot to look at, you know, ways you can look at this, but according to the Central Business District standards, there are some pretty extreme changes to those requirements. And again, I did point out section 1046.070 that even if the modifications are permitted, it still must keep within, if you will, the spirit of the downtown.
Thank you. Any other questions from anybody, Sue?
In regards to that particular thing?
No.
The whole
thing.
I've got a lot of other questions.
Great.
Okay.
So this fits in your framework of what we're doing right now, Walt. We should probably let the commissioners ask the questions before we go to the testimonies.
That would be fine. I have no issue with that. If they have any questions, or if, you know, let the applicant also state their case. But, you know, that's kind of what I'm here for.
Well, maybe we should let the applicants state their case. It might address some of the things that are on our mind. We'll have a bigger, fuller picture. Is that all right? All right. Well, let's go ahead then. Who's going to be speaking? Dan, Melissa, would you like to go ahead?
I can go ahead. So are you guys mainly like wanting the like cedar siding and stone to authenticate the downtown area to match it? Or what are you guys wanting for the theme? Because most of it cedar with batten board downtown.
Well, Melissa, rather than get into a dialogue on what we want, that's kind of an individual thing. We would like to hear a presentation why this would be in compliance with the code, as you heard us, and maybe perhaps you've listened to last hearing or read a report on that.
I read it. I didn't hear the last one. I just read what, yeah.
Well, if you have, I'd like to hear you make a statement about why this is, we've heard kind of what some of my problems are with this. If you have a response to that, we'd like to hear it.
I feel that our business will do well down there, and it will promote business going downtown and a new gas station. And we want to do a full grocery store to provide more groceries for the residents downtown with full meat and dairy section, along with the convenience store, not just a convenience store. So they have lots of food options, coffee, and a grocery store with fuel station in your town.
All right. Dan, you've heard some of the more code, the overlay problems that we're having here is to be able to see, you know, see a way forward for this. Do you have something to say to us about that? How we can see our way forward in light of this overlay, business district overlay?
Well, from what I've seen of the project, the way forward, I think, is assuring that the facade of the building is in keeping with the desires of the code for the central business district. And that's certainly something that can be accomplished. If I remember correctly, that in the actual design review process, that gets submitted and approved by the city. You know, so despite the fact that it's not sitting right up on Maple, it is using the site as it traditionally had been used. So it wouldn't be something different than what's been in the past. But I think the site could be finished and landscaped and presented in a manner that's keeping with the code desires.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to say as proponents of this? All right. I guess we'll hear from opponents. I guess we'll go by the list here, the order of who's on that list. Is Paul Smolin here tonight? Okay, well, I'll read.
And what I don't think he's online.
He put in, he sent in a letter, an email that opposes this. My belief that development fails in that it is not required for the proper and convenient functioning of the commercial center serving the city and its immediate environs. That is something I kind of want to talk about. Required for the proper and convenient functioning. That's an interesting phrase, but that's not for now. That will trigger some discussion. All right, who we got here? Doug Edwards?
I put no.
Oh, thank you. I got to look at that call.
All right, the first yes is Rocky. What I would like to speak to has to do with what has been said, and I do not sense that there is an understanding, a meeting of the minds. My concern is that that the central issue is all about the code and whether or not the proposal meets the intent of the code. If the code is not being met by the proposal, then by the numbers, 1, 2, 3, whatever it is, what are the areas of this proposal that do not meet the code? And then what is the developer willing to do or to make adjustments in order to meet the code?
Got it. Anything else?
Well, to me, that's the central point, because until we get that solved, it's pretty hard to discuss anything else.
I've got it right here with a star by it. All right.
That's it.
All right. Mr. Davis.
Yes, sir, Mr. Moore. Thank you.
Just for the record, Rocky's at, what's your address, Rocky?
Second Hemlock.
Second Hemlock, and you're at 212 North Maple.
That's me.
Yep.
Yeah, my name's Robert Davis. I represent Yamhill Neighborhood Association. And my address is 212 North Maple Street, as Mr. Moore has graciously said. I would like to bring to this council's attention a document that I received from Oregon DEQ Salem office, Jim Glass, a official document for easement and equitable servitudes. The document is 2011-13490. And in this document, it states the conditions of use on this property currently existing.
Okay, this is great, Roger. What you named the numbers on that code, and that's part of what document?
That's part of the easement and equitable servitudes registered with the official Yamhill County Recorder's Clerk's Office on October 18th, 2011.
Well, can you help me out with what that is? When was that? It sounds like something that was created here in Yamhill and by the city and recorded at the county. Well, are you with us? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I was just trying to go through some my notes here. I am not aware of the document. I've never seen it. I would have to go ahead and have a look at it. It sounds as if this document, from what I could gather just from my notes here, that this document may well be the result of an access agreement with the property owner and ODOT that was recorded in the county. And so, I note here that I think ODOT noted that they already have, what was the exact language? I think ODOT already noted they have access to Maple Street as a state highway, and that access is still valid. But that's the only thing I could gather out of his comments.
And is there a date on this,
October 18th, 2011. It was signed and notarized by John Pitfido, Joanne Pitfido, okay. Paul S. Rosenberg, State of Oregon.
Okay, that helps me understand what you're reading from now. Please go ahead.
So anyway, this document is currently in force. And by that I mean easement, obviously, as Walt has already stated, DEQ still has access or easement rights to this property. But the equitable servitudes are listed as restrictions of use. I'm sorry I didn't print this earlier and give you each a copy, but I can email it to you when I get home. The equitable servitudes restrictions of use start at 3.1 and go to 3.5. They are listed as groundwater use restrictions, use of property, notice of transfer, zoning changes, and cost recovery. But the most important part I want to read is not the restrictions per se, because they are extensive. I would like to read item 5, release of restrictions. 5.1, owner may petition DEQ for release of any of all the conditions or restrictions contained in this easement and equitable servitude by submitting such petition to the DEQ in writing with evidence that the circumstances on the property intend to be addressed in such condition or restriction no longer exists or has been remediated to a condition, health, or environment continues to exist on the property. Condition no longer subject to the DEQ's regulation or jurisdiction, and that no incompatibility risk to human health or the environment continues to exist on the property. The decision to release any or all of these conditions or restrictions in this easement and equitable servitudes shall be within the sole discretion of DEQ. And as far as I know, and I've been in contact with two people at DEQ, one is an Ellen, and I'll spell her last name, R-O-V-E-L-S-T-A-D, and her associate, and I don't know if I've got this at present, but those restrictions are still in force, and DEQ is still looking for satisfaction, both monetary settling the five restrictions that basically cover the groundwater, use of property, notice of transfer, zoning changes, and cost recovery. Because under 3.2, and I'll paraphrase, prior to any additional development or redevelopment of the property that may encounter contaminated soil or groundwater, owner must submit professional prepared plans for the proposed development to DEQ for review, UST program, or its successor. So with that fact known, we are wondering, since...
So can I step in and say something about this? Well, so we're already working with...
Yeah, so, hang on just one second. So
we'll give you all the time you want.
So let him finish up. In any case, in talking with Ellen, she said she was aware of this building, but satisfaction for DEQ hasn't been completely met yet. So whether that's changed or not, I have no idea. But I wanted to bring all this to the attention of the council.
All right, Roger. This is very interesting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Melissa, we're just going to go to you. We're going to go back and forth a little bit here because it seems like the right thing to do. Go ahead.
Yeah. So we've been working with Hydrocon already. We're getting everything resolved with DEQ, and everything should be finalized next week with all of our approval and everything that needs to be taken care of on that end. There won't be anything else. We have all of our vapor barrier. We have our ground program, our safety program, all done from Hydrocon.
Thank you, Melissa. Now, Walt, this is really interesting, but I guess it really doesn't, it's not part of our decision here. That's for DEQ to enforce their stuff and not for us to say, you can't do that because DEQ, it's just two apples and oranges, right?
Well, actually, if you go ahead and approve this, there's nothing wrong with putting a condition on there that requires the applicant to provide evidence that they are in compliance with the DEQ. I mean, that's pretty much pro forma. So no, that's not. Let me phrase it this way: with the actual design and building issue, it's not a factor with the actual development of the site. If this goes forward, that can be placed as a condition.
So Roger, it seems like it's not going to stop it before at this point. If we somehow approve this application, it'll be for them to make sure this passes. We can't, it's not in our, not the way the process works that we say, well, you haven't figured it all out with DEQ yet, we're not going to do anything, or we're going to say no based on that. That doesn't seem to be part of the process.
Yeah, I was bringing this to the council's attention for two reasons. One, with what Walt said about making the fact that the builder passed DEQ's requirements as a condition should you decide to move forward with their application.
Right.
That's the only reason I brought this forward, because my understanding through people who have worked on that site, they will hit contaminated soil. There is no doubt. At 18 inches, that soil is contaminated. You got to go deeper than 18 inches to set a footing for a building of this size.
Okay, and that may be a problem in the future.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And nobody else is on the list.
No, I'm on the list.
Well, I missed a yes.
Oh,
that yes is that arrow is a yes.
Gotcha.
The check mark. Check mark.
And there's also hands raised on.
Thank
Zoom,
you.
Just so you know.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm Patty Perrin, 215 North Maple. And I read through the majority of the documents. I looked at the little pictures, one of which piqued my interest, and that was the amount of water that they're going to be using. They have multiple, including a sink. So there's six different items, which consist of coffee, pot, some kind of a cold brew. I'm assuming it's for cold coffee, whatever. They have a 1.5 gallon brewer. They have a 3-compartment sink and an ice maker, plus 2 bathrooms. And then they're going to have a fryer and an oven. So all of this stuff is going to be needing to be cleaned all the time. They're going to be using water every single day. And I don't know if you all were involved with the issue with the bypass going through Carlton and all of that. ODOT indicated that there were approximately 10,000 vehicles that go through Yamhill on a daily basis, which kind of sounds like a lot, but they're the ones who did it. So I have to make the assumption they knew what they were doing. And the average customers, and I'm not saying that that's what's going to be if this gas station goes in, but the average customers for a Chevron with gas pumps and a store is about 1,100 customers per day. So I'm going to say half that, 500. So people going in there to get gas, they're going to be getting coffee, especially the cars that head through here at 3:30, and you know, they start at 3:30 in the morning and they really start coming through here at 5 o'clock. For the most part, Chevron's are open at 5 or 5:30 in the morning. So they're going to be stopping for their coffee. They're going to be getting their sodas or whatever else it is that they're going to be getting. With our water issue, this is a major concern for me. Not only for that, but when the 57 new homes go in, that's even more of a concern. We don't have the capacity to take on 250 to 500 new people coming, you know, going to the store and using it, plus an additional 57 homes. So this is my major concern with having this go in.
All right. Thank you, Patty. And we've got folks online, Sherry.
Sherry Wilson,
Sam Wilson?
Sherry Wilson.
Sherry Wilson. Sherry, go ahead.
Unmute. There I am. Hi, everyone. Sherry Wilson, 710 East Main Street, Yamhill. And I'm off site today, have grandkids, so I'm doing that. But the modification to the codes is an issue for me. I mentioned that last month at the meeting. Another point I wanted to bring up was First Street. I know that Walt mentioned the congestion there. And is there going to be like access for entry and exit right there on First Street?
Yeah, yes.
Well, the way the stop sign sits back now, there's also no parking on First Street on the south side at this time. So I am a little concerned about the traffic issues there, people trying to pull out on the highway. We can't see as it is on when there's traffic parked, all the parking along Main Street. And if you live here, you know what I'm talking about. You about risk your life pulling out onto the highway. So that brings up something. And I know that the petitioner mentioned that the property was a gas station. Yes, it was. I've been here 40 years. But before, when it was there, there was a house behind it. The fire department was not there. The actual post office was not there. It was all residential area. So there's a lot more traffic now because of the fire department, because of the post office. So that's, I just wanted to throw those points in to kind of give you a picture of what First Street's going to look like if we have cars coming in and out and trying to access the highway, so on and so forth. So thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. I didn't understand your point about parking as it exists now on the south side.
There is none. So there's lots of traffic coming, you know, there's no place to park. You can't park in front of the fire department's gravel there. You can't park in front of their Quonset hut that they have there. So, I mean, there's traffic moving back and forth. There's no curbing there down the whole part of First Street. I just think that it's kind of willy-nilly now. Cars coming in and out and turning around, using that space for the post office, even though it's really not designated as parking. I'm just concerned that there's no traffic flow per se.
Now, these driveways from the proposed development that would spill onto First Street, there'll be no parking there as well, I would imagine. I just don't see how that.
I don't know if are they going to have curbing there. I'm trying to lay out the picture of First Street.
Yeah.
The only parking there is on the north side, and so anybody coming from the other direction, coming up heading east on First Street, is going to have to be very cautious about traffic entering First Street, traffic exiting First Street, trying to stop at the stop sign, getting out onto the highway. I just think there's a lot of congestion there that needs to be considered.
Thank you, Sherry. Because of your comments, I want to ask Walt again. Walt, would you elaborate on your concerns about the pump layout and how it would affect First Street?
Actually, my concern had more to do with the drive-through that's on the north side. Again, there was not enough stacking there. If you have a lineup, you know, someone's mentioning maybe they don't want to get out of their car because it's raining and they want to just go to the drive-thru and pick up a coffee. You need a way to stack vehicles. And just looking at the way it's laid out, obviously it's going to be driver left. There's just not enough stacking to actually get cars in and not have congestion in the parking lot either. So that's my concern. And that was one of the reasons I certainly recommended that they do not include the drive-through as proposed. I'd also like to note that a question was raised on curbing. One of the conditions talked about the applicant is responsible for street frontage improvements along First and Maple.
Well, would you help me find that recommendation against the drive-through on your staff report? What page is that?
Hold on.
Page three.
D.
D.
D is in dog.
D, yeah. Install.
The following additional requirements shall apply. Installation of a driver window shall be prohibited.
So that's pretty strong language there, Walt. Recommendations and conditions of approval. Your recommendation is no to the drive up.
Exactly. In fact, it goes in my original. Okay, here we go. In my original September report, I noted on page 10, item L, as noted, the site includes a drive-up, drive-in window on the north side. Central Business District standards require drive-up window to be designed so that internal driveway access to a public street minimizes the potential for vehicle conflicts and congestion and potential for pedestrian conflicts. As this layout is shown, there's barely enough room for one or two vehicles. There's no potential for stacking. And I think that's going to interfere with the vehicle traffic along the street, as well as the parking area and potentially pedestrians. And for that reason, I recommended that it not include drive-through.
All right, thank you. More folks waiting for testimony?
No one has their hand raised right now.
If
you want to ask and see if anybody else online.
Thanks, Sharon. Anyone else on Zoom wish to speak?
I will. This is Melissa again. If we are willing to take out the drive-through, if we need to take out the drive-through or push the window a little bit further to the edge of the building, if to the end, to give one more car stack up, or just take out the drive-through altogether.
Well, we're just honest. Well, does as you see it, does pushing that drive to the end of the building make you say, "Oh, okay, that's fine"?
No, I'm just concerned not only with that, but also the stacking that would go through the parking lot and the traffic movement there. The fact that you will have you'll have one point of ingress and egress, and then a second point of egress, and that's just not the best place to put it. It would be different if it were elsewhere, possibly, but as proposed, I just don't think that's going to work for this particular site location, and also. Again, Maple is the highway that runs through town.
All right, thank you. So now I think we're maybe a little better. Yes, Pat?
Can I get clarification on something? And I just noticed this. When Sherry was talking about First Street, the picture that I have here, the site plan, it looks like there's a driveway right at the corner of First and Maple. Is that what I'm seeing? Is that correct?
Well, there's a driveway right at the intersection of First and Maple, right?
Is this a
driveway? Yes, right near there.
There? Mm-hmm. So people that are coming this way are going to cut right in here? Are you serious?
Well, no.
Sorry.
So if you look here, this represents a semi-truck.
Okay.
And this would be the swing of a semi-truck leaving or arriving.
So where's the driveway over here?
From what I gather of it, the entire thing.
The whole thing?
I think so. It's not the best.
Is that entire First Street approach, Walt, is that a driveway?
It's supposed to be a driveway there. And that, again, was my concern with the drive-in.
The whole thing is a driveway.
I think they have a limit. Wait a minute. That's a city street. So the city public works and or engineer will have to determine whether or not that access is acceptable. I believe it is. I did not receive any negative comments on that.
I from the corner back, it looks like there's 20 feet that are like shaded. What do you know what that means?
It's sidewalk.
Sidewalk?
Is that a hard curve from the corner back about 20 feet?
It's just a site plan.
Yes. You know, I can speak to that. That's existing asphalt right next to where we show the planter.
Okay.
With the city's proposed condition to put a 8-foot sidewalk along the length of First Street, that's going to go away. All you'll have is sidewalk to get to the driveway entrance portion.
And the driveway will run the full length of the property on First Street?
If the drive-through is eliminated, then it'll only be the width necessary there to allow for the fuel truck to swing and make its way out.
Yes.
And customers as well will exit that driveway too if they wish.
That's correct.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Sue, would you like to now address who you're asking the question to, just so that they're clear?
All right. Well, Melissa Dan, I'm not sure which. I have two pictures, and I'm not sure which is the real picture. One shows the canopy in a stop sign fashion out from the store, and the other one shows the canopy horizontal to the store. Which one is real?
That's a good question.
So I could answer that. That one was from August 2nd of 2021.
Yeah.
That's the first drawing with the sort of diamond shaped canopy. Maybe Dan and Melissa can say if I'm wrong on this, but I believe that the second one, the one you're holding currently, is the current version.
It's the current version.
Oh, neat.
So the canopy is going to be, in fact, 30 by 100. Am I correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. So I have a problem with that in regards to the wasted hours, days, and months that were spent on the sign show. That we didn't even think about addressing a canopy of that size, because you can't say that lit up canopy is not fully with, yeah. I mean, that blows all of our sign code that we just worked so hard on to pieces.
So, would that entire canopy be lit as like neon, like advertising it's a gas station?
No, the whole sign. So it's 76. So it is not all lit up. It has one swoosh and the 76 sign.
So that whole canopy is not all lit up?
Underneath?
No, the outside is just the one swoosh and the 76. Underneath is lit up for people to see when the gas station's open.
So we're going to bitch and moan and groan about that fire sign. And then we're going to all of a sudden have a 30 by 100 canopy all lit up.
Underneath.
All hours of the day and night.
Let's take one piece at a time. Well, the side of that canopy, from which Melissa described, and maybe from what you've seen of the plans, does it comply with our sign code? How does our sign code affect that block?
Well, hard to say, because I would have to look at the sign and also the dimensions of the sign. So in other words, I don't want to automatically reject. Again, a canopy is a canopy. The sign occurs when you get something on there. And based on the sign area requirements, you only look around the sort of square or rectangle or whatever that actually has the color rendition and the verbiage. So I would have to actually look at what it would, you know, the final product for me to make a determination. My concern, again, is would that sign conform to the central business district requirements? And again, without actually seeing the sign, it would be hard for me to say.
So that would be part of our requirements of approval. If so, if we did that, that it would comply with the central business district code. Okay. Now,
correct. That was also suggested that, again,
it's about the signs.
1046.060, maximum allowable area. The maximum allowable sign area shall be computed as follows. 1 square foot of sign area for each 1 foot of building street side frontage. This maximum area shall apply to all signs located on the building. So I got, this is not going to be like the one that's out by the Sheridan DQ, the canopy.
No, it is not. That's a Chevron and we're doing 76 station.
Okay.
So the sign,
we don't have anything that shows what it looks like then. Because the one that I'm looked at, and I was told that it was like, is like this. And if it's like that, that is 30 by 100 of neon.
What I'm hearing from Wall, that our sign code that we just created is, it applies in the central business district, and so that will apply to this canopy.
No. Because this application was turned in before council ratified what we had done.
That's right. We got that from last time.
Well, may I interject here momentarily? The thing with the, what was approved by the council was the electronic message sign. So in other words, that had more to do with, you know, the changing face of a sign. And if they propose that, they have to go through a conditional use application, and they also need a variance because they may have applied for this, bear in mind, until a decision is made, they would have to come back for a sign permit, and the rules in effect at the time of that application would apply. The other thing I'd like to note is that with regard to signs, under 1046.060, that covers signs within the central business district. You're only limited to wall signs or projecting signs. It just goes through there that talks about illumination, et cetera, et cetera. So you can have quite a bit of signage, but they're limited to wall or projecting signs. So again, I would have to look at the signage. In fact, what's the length of the building? It was like, it wasn't very big, it was 100 feet. So the most signage they can get there is 100 square feet of signage. And that includes all signs on the building. In fact, it doesn't talk about canopy within the central business district. So that raises the bell whether or not they would need a variance for that. So again, at the time of the application, there was no submittal on signs, and they can always come back for a separate sign permit. But if they plan to do any modification from the central business district requirements, that will require variance. And if they want to have some sort of reader board, in other words, electronic message sign, they will need a conditional use and a variance to work with that. So I hope that provides a little clarity. Unless I can actually see what they're proposing, it's hard for me to make a final determination.
All right. Thanks, Walt. Now, the second thing that Sherry brought up was the lights underneath the canopy. It's going to be, you know, really bright. And we don't have any code that really talks about that other than signs were supposed to be turned off after business hours. But other than that, there's no regulation on illumination underneath the canopy going down toward the ground. Is that true?
That would be my understanding. Bear in mind, though, the light cannot migrate to adjacent properties, but that does not eliminate the fact that you're still going to see lights. And I think, again, that's something for the Planning Commission to consider.
If I may?
section 10.28.050A, size and type, location of outdoor lighting. That isn't within our purview.
Mm-hmm.
So it's section 10.28.050A, and then number two. In approving a plan, development plan, the governing body may impose conditions relating to size, type, and location of outdoor lighting.
Mm-hmm.
So we would have some control over how bright, I would think, how much light we would.
Boy, that's interesting. Unless you can come up with a number, in other words, what's the measurement, the nits? Unless you can come up with a number, I would think that at an absolute minimum, they would have to do a photogrammic, I think it's a photogrammic analysis of their canopy lights to ensure that no light migrate, light does not migrate beyond the actual property. And so, that would certainly be, I think, a suitable condition if you decide to go forward.
Well, I'd like to just interject right here. The lighting, the traffic patterns, those all may be moot if we don't get past the setback thing. So maybe we should, that's the first thing. I mean, that's the big one. If we agree that, well, no, we're going to work with these setbacks and modify and feel that it's within the intent of the business district overlay, we're going to go ahead, then we'll have to consider all these other things. But if we don't get past that one, we're not going to need, we won't be talking lighting, we won't be talking congestion. That's true. So maybe we should just, does that make sense? Just see how we.
Actually, I think that's the core of this whole application. And if you're done with all the public testimony and rebuttal, that should really be the core of what you're looking at. Does this meet the requirements of the central business district? The answer is no. Can you find justification to allow the modifications, including going from a zero to, I don't know, 50, 60 foot setback, parking in the front adjacent to the street, building design that is probably inconsistent with the downtown. Can you allow those modifications? And can you justify those with the criteria that I noted? If you feel that's acceptable, then you could take the next step and looking at issues of, okay, how do we approach lighting or whatnot, but the core of this application revolves around compliance with the central business district requirements. And as I said, I did point out that they do not meet those requirements, and my findings were rather tenuous at best on whether or not they can meet them. But I think it's important to at least go through the process here. So, yes, you've hit on the important point.
Thanks. Well, okay. I think, and I'm looking at a process that's going to be take a very few more minutes right now to answer this question, and that's going to be some discussion and maybe a motion, and then some discussion on that motion, and then a vote. So I'm going to cut off, unless there's any more testimony from the Zoom folks.
We've got one hand
raised. We have a hand raised. Before we cut off testimony, let's get all this taken care of. Who's wanting to talk?
Carol Prendergast.
Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, Carol Prendergast, 280 South Olive Street, Yamhill. And I just would, I know you, I've been listening to the issues on the light, and I know that you're not going to address it right now. But I do want to note, I do want you to know that any light and the, of course, the fire sign has been my concern, but the where that white Quonset hut is, any lighting that they have at the proposed gas station and sign and the canopy is going to reflect off that white Quonset hut, which lights up this whole residential area. And I'm very concerned about the light pollution. And I just wanted to be able to state that at this juncture of the meeting. I know that it has a lot of other steps to go through, but I wanted to make my concerns known. I know you guys have done an awesome job on the issues with the sign not to bring anything up, but there were three campers in that parking lot the other night at 2:30 in the morning. I went out and videoed it, and the bouncing light on the reader board sign was on toward the fire station, and it was on and off blinking all night long. And it reflected off the campers that were parked there, and it was also reflects terribly off of that white Quonset hut. And if there is any lighting at all on the canopy of this gas station or on any signage, which it looks to me like it's going to be higher than the Quonset hut, it's going to create a problem in this residential side of town. So that's all I wanted to say. I was just wanted to address the light pollution that was going to affect the neighbors on South Olive Street from this, and not only that, but the congestion on First Street also. But I just wanted to state that. And I thank you for your work on the signage issues that you've done. And I know it's a moot point at this juncture, because it sounds to me like it's got to go through a lot of steps before lighting is even a consideration. But I did want to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol, for your perspective from where you live on the reflected light that may be useful to us in the future. Thank you.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much.
Okay, let me just finish up on it. Anybody else online?
No one else online.
Okay. Yes.
I'll start signing my name at the bottom. After hearing this, I got a few points. It's food for thought for the commissioners, but I live across from the Shell station. That's a hell of a thing. That sign never laid off. The floodlights never point down. At least if they pointed down, it'd be good. And traffic safety was brought up. I live right across from the Shell. There is brakes and horns all the time going on there. And stacking. They bought 47 to line up to get in there. Especially that Splenda or some of the logging trucks that pull in there to get diesel. Traffic safety pulling right out here from what is it?
First
and Maple Martini, yes. Again, you got log trucks that pull up right in front of the realtor. You got red trucks that park in the yellow curb. That is a very bad thing. And there's a coffee shop right down here. They have no curbs. They have no cement aprons. Gravel is splattered all over the pavement. My point is, need to get a direction and follow it. I hate people to say, well, they go by with it. Why can't I? It really sounds like you're really nitpicking this gas station to death when you ignore the other issues that are there. Because traffic's going to be a problem, whatever. But if people drive the 25 like they're supposed to, it's not like we're doing 55. So it wouldn't really be a traffic incident. I have come out of T&E there and literally had to just inch across. Because you got a log truck here, and usually it's friends, red, but they're parked in the yellow. So we just need a set path that everyone can follow. I mean, I've dealt with Chevron lights being on 24/7 since forever. And I don't know where we are on that lighting situation, but I know you'll probably say it's grandfathered in and stuff, but if you're gonna pick on one entity, everyone else has to follow suit, because it's lighting. It's not something that should be grandfathered in. Just like if I want to run a duck farm on my place, and I was grandfathered in 40 years ago, I would still think a little common sense, you know, would apply. And that's all I'm asking you guys to consider some of these factors. You're riding the rail right down the middle on the a new business that wants to go in town, which I'm all for. But yet you look around, like I said, I mentioned those areas because it was brought up, traffic safety, sidewalks and curbs. It just has to be the same for everyone. My house was damaged, as some people know. I was surprised to put in an $11,000 sidewalk, and yet walking here tonight, where my block ends all the way down until you hit the where the barber shop out west at. It's just terrible. And I encourage any of you, walk down here tonight. You better have a light or you better just get to the other side of the street. So I'm not saying make this a communist town kind of, if that's the correct word. Just everyone's treated the same. I don't care when they want to come in. I heard a lot of talk about, oh, we need new business. That sounds like to me, you're giving this station, I don't know, is it a Chevron? I don't know. But you're giving them a hell of a time. You got to jump through A, hoop A, B to Z. And then they look around and you're, like I said, you walk down past the coffee shop, you're walking in gravel on the asphalt because nobody put in a curb, nobody put in the aprons. And then when you pull out, you got room for about one car at the stop sign. So where's your stacking there? They have to park out on the pavement, wait their turn to go through to get their mocha or whatever it is they do. But you take one log truck at the Shell, I know I'm jumping back and forth here. But I sit there and watch it all day long now that I'm retired. And then you've got a spundle with the brush thing and the chipper, two of them. And then you got a guy with a boat. I can't believe that ODOT ever allowed that to be there because you can't see going out for the traffic coming on, especially when a semi parks there and he's unloading all the beer or sodas or whatever they do. And you damn sure can't see coming out, come down this way because of all the other stuff that's blocking it. So if we want to talk traffic safety, let's be even across the board. That's all I got to say.
Thank you. You make a good point. And you brought up some history that's, interesting, I think, to the commission, and that is that there was a variance to not have that coffee cart pave that lot, and maybe we will rethink.
No, I'm not saying the law, just not aprons to drop.
Aprons?
They were driving in, and they could put a curb in between the two, and where's all their landscaping?
There was a variance on code that results in more gravel in that area. Now, we can't go back and... But
no, I
future,
know, but if you guys
future,
were fixing in one direction,
keep that in
one direction only. I know you guys, you know, it changes hands.
Yeah, it did.
But I heard a comment that putting this convenience store over here isn't fair to T&E. Who gives a dang? Maybe T&E could be more competitive, but T&E's been here forever. People who shop there will continue to shop there, but that should not even be a factor in the decision. For over here. Well, but maybe they're just going to sell Tootsie Pops and I'll be there all the time.
I'm going to agree with you on that point.
Yeah.
That we're not here to judge what competition should and shouldn't be in the town. That's
yeah.
not
okay.
part of what we do.
That's
but you also made a good point when we were doing the light, the signs. And I think we heard you, and there's a change in that new light code. Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Walt, but will the existing gas station at the end of town be subject to that requirement of having their lights off after business hours?
No, the question is, well, first of all, let me ask, do they have an electronic message sign?
No, but I thought some of the things that we worked on did apply to other than just electronic messaging.
No, in terms of the whole focus was for electronic message signs. And so you have a separate issue. And I forgot which meeting, I want to say it might have been April, but there was a long discussion about the gas station, et cetera, and also the lights from a bank, if I recall. And that's a separate issue in terms of lights. I'm not sure how that would occur because, you know, good planning would require that the lights be minimal for the site and not have a direct impact. But no, we were focusing on electronic messages.
All right. Thanks, Walt. I misremembered on that. But okay. It certainly is in our mind.
Yeah, but the sign where all the fuel prices are listed, That's not an electronic sign.
Not in this case. We're talking about moving electronic where the message scans across or things change. And there's sort of time frames in which they change, not daily like the price of gas.
One more point. These guys have to shut, if the station goes in, they will have to shut their lights off, show and do what they want. I mean, we got to stay within guidelines. Every business should be treated the same.
Not sure how to answer that one, but thank you.
No, it's just food we bought.
All right, so we're going to cut off public testimony, proponent, opponent, and we're going to deliberate here. So what I laid out was perhaps a motion, discussion on the motion, and a vote. And what we've got for us, I think, is what we're focusing on right now is the setbacks and the, how we would need to modify the business district overlay. And in Walt's words, extremely.
Well, what is that code for the 0-foot setback south of Izalia on Maple? Do you know?
I think, I tell you, for a lot of downtowns, they want to keep the same pattern of avoiding exactly what you're looking at. You don't have a place where you have parking in front of a building when everything else along downtown. You park on the street and walk along. Downtowns are generally pedestrian oriented as opposed to being automobile oriented. Lancaster Drive here in Salem is auto oriented, obviously, but the downtown is pedestrian oriented. So I think that was the whole intent, just to keep that framework of a, community downtown where the buildings are about the same relative size, have the same relative setbacks. I mean, if someone came in with a 5-foot setback and had like a little area up front where you had like an outdoor cafe, I think the Planning Commission would look at that favorably. I think, but when you're looking at a setback that greatly exceeds zero, that also has the parking up front, the building does not conform with, I think, what a downtown building would look like. You would have to go ahead and sort of, find justification why that is acceptable for the central business district.
But what was the, what?
Did you need the number?
Yeah, do you have the number of the code?
Yes, it's 10.46.050 E and then number one. And it says setbacks, the maximum building setback from the street side property line shall be 0 feet. That's the one you're referring to, right?
Yeah. 10.46.050E1.
Yes.
Okay. So we were talking about that. So where are we on that? So they want us to change code to build their building.
They want us to, what's the word?
Modify,
yeah. Because and from Walt told us, if we do that, we need to do it in a way that is in compliance with the intent of the code.
Also, I'd like to point out section 1046050E, items 1, 2, and 3, setbacks, maximum building setback from property. And this is along Maple Street, it is 0. Building height shall be within 10% of the average height of existing buildings in the block. And the building design must be similar in character and designed with existing structures. So that's very specific to Maple Street.
Well, I think if that Melissa is willing to really negotiate on building design, but we're not even there. So I don't want to necessarily bring that up. And the height, is that another red flag? Because what was the percentage of existing building on the street? So are we talking about the Mexican restaurant height?
Right. So in other words, the way the code's set up, the buildings have to be within about 10% of each other. So you don't have one huge building and a bunch of smaller ones. So the whole idea is to keep them relatively the same height.
I think, am I wrong in saying that I think these two buildings, the existing building, the Mexican restaurant and the gas station, are of similar height, within 10%?
I cannot tell you. I don't have the dimensions to work with.
Okay. If we get past the setback, then again, we'll address that to see if we're within the overlay. But right now, let's not.
Let's just work on the setback.
Pardon me?
Can we just work on the setback?
That's what I'm proposing, yeah. Well, I'm looking for a motion, basically. Unless you want more discussion.
Well, go ahead, Walt.
Okay. The issue is not just the setback. It's the building design. It's the location of parking adjacent to the street. The issue is really, does this layout conform to the central business district overlay requirements? That's the first question you have to ask. The second question is, if it doesn't, do you have reasonable justification to allow what are significant changes to those requirements? And again, I did note in the staff report that the requirements are, there has to be unique conditions to the site. There has to be, or the parcel shape forces these changes, or you're trying to save natural features. And on top of that, you have to show that what is being proposed meets the intent and purpose of the central business district. So it's not just a setback, it's not just signage, it's not just parking. You have to look at the whole package. And that's why the first question to ask is, does this meet the requirements of the central business district? And I think the very short answer is no. Even the staff report noted that. Then the next question is, really, is there enough information out there? Is there something unique with the property, the parcel shape, or are there natural features that need to be preserved? And if what you're granting modifications to, does that still meet with the intent and purpose of the downtown?
Got it.
No. You still looking for a motion?
Yeah.
Okay, so I would, as offered by Walt's planning packet here, I would move to deny the application establishing findings as to why. I would refer to 10.46.050E1 of 0-foot setback has not been met. I do not see a reasonable justification to change. The partial shape is standard. There's no natural features that we'd be preserving. There's nothing unique specifically about that property. So the intent and purpose of the downtown overlay, it doesn't meet standards.
Sharon, that was a long motion.
I cited it though.
But we need to get that down, most of what he said, leaving out the I do not see part. So can you help us get this in writing?
I just said page 4, number 3, denied the application, and the finding is 10.46.050E1 with the setbacks.
Will that be sufficient for you, Shay?
I think that we just maybe put in it does not meet the central business district overlay intent.
Yeah, that's great. Let's put those words in there.
That'll do it.
Okay. So that's the motion. Maybe you could read it back to us, Sharon, so somebody knows what they're going to second.
No, let's see. Deny the application based on it does not meet the central business district overlay intent.
And we want the code in there,
and
too.
And the code as well, please.
10.46.050E1.
Okay.
Good, Shay?
Good.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
And is that Sue?
Who seconded? Sue seconded? Yeah. All right. So any more discussion on this before we vote? All right. Well, we'll just go down the row here and say Richardson, yay or nay?
yay that I'm denying it, or no that I'm not.
So the motion is to deny it. So a yay will be to pass this motion to deny it.
Deny. Yay.
So Richards is a yay.
Hodgkins, yay.
Carol, yay.
Moore, yay.
Court again.
Okay. You know, we want growth here. We want to have, and yet we have this thing of keeping the character of the downtown. So we appreciate people with entrepreneurship and capital coming to propose development here, but this didn't fit with our code and the intent of the code. So I hope this doesn't discourage people from finding appropriate business ventures here in town. The existing gas station is out of that central business district and more appropriate to car traffic and not passenger traffic. So I think that's kind of the model that we're following here in town. All right, back to the agenda to see if there's anything else.
Have you closed the public hearing?
I did that before we deliberated.
Okay.
I don't have anything else except the next Planning Commission meeting, November 16th.
I have something.
Oh, Sue.
This whole thing has brought up, now it's brought up lights, which we didn't even think about. We all thought when we were talking about signs, we were also talking about the brightness of signs, not just, you know, so. I think that's one thing that we need to discuss. And I was downtown on Saturday night to have dinner. In the parking lot alone there and the front, there was over 30 cars. Last night I came home at 5:50, I came through town bringing my brother home from the VA for an appointment for his follow-up surgery. At 5:50, there was 22 cars in front of Lago and Larson House and in that parking lot. And I know it's not the problem of these people, but it's brought to mind what's going to happen. And that's not talking about employee cars that have to work in these places.
Want us to go block off everything so nobody can park down there? Because everybody uses that right now. So if you guys are just going to deny everything for businesses coming in, then we can just go barricade everything off so nobody can park there.
No, I'm saying the city needs to talk about
it. I think what you're saying is that the city needs to address its parking situation, not the parking, not the gravel lot that belongs to these folks.
Right. I'm just saying that all of a sudden.
Well, everybody's parking there.
Until now.
Everybody parks in that parking lot right now.
That's right.
So you guys aren't going to do anything else to tell us what we need to do to build this, or you're just going to deny it?
The application as it exists was denied.
So what do you want it to look like so we can build the gas station?
Well, the thing that it was denied on was the setbacks, 0-foot setbacks.
So you want the store at the front?
Right along the sidewalk.
Right along the sidewalk, and we can put the canopy in the back? You want? This is your city. Well, if you don't know, this is your city. You should be able to tell us what you want so we can build the gas station.
Well, I think, let me just see if this is what you're going to say. We consider applications, and we consider this application, how you can create an application for a development that will meet the central business overlay would be something you could work with your engineer on and perhaps consult with Walt, but I'm not sure that that's available. Are you available, Walt, to consult?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, I cannot consult to design a project for them. That's totally out of the question. But I have no issue if she wants to contact me. Just kind of go through Sharon. Contact me directly. We can trade emails and a phone call. And I'd be happy to kind of discuss that with her, because at this juncture, you've obviously made a decision. The applicant would like some more information on how to move forward. And if the Planning Commission is offering advice, you may get yourself into a quandary when they come back with that proposal, did exactly what you want, and you still said no, still say no. So I think it really would be good to separate this discussion and have her chat with me first.
Let me see, Shay, were you satisfied?
That would have.
Well, you had something to say, but did that cover it?
That would
have. I just wanted to ask Melissa, are you familiar with the municipal code that outlines the central business district overlay? Because those are the requirements that they're referring to.
No, but Studio 3's been working with us and Dan for everything. No, we were not. It was zone C1 for commercial, and we did not know that it was business district, but we will confirm to whatever we're needing to do if we know what that is.
Okay, so what I can do is I can print out and email all of you that central business district overlay municipal code so that you can review it and see if you're wanting to reapply. You can see how you could modify your plans to conform to the municipal code. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
I think we should have gotten an email on that to begin with when we applied, especially when we've now spent tons of money for all of the plans to get done and finalized.
I believe it was addressed in the city planners, both of the status reports. And those were
sent. I didn't see it in there.
It is in both of the status reports, so it was addressed. But I have no problem providing you with the municipal code.
All right.
Okay.
Sue brought up the parking. That's her private property. She can determine that. But your greater situation was down to parking as a city. What are we doing about it?
Yeah, exactly.
I guess if we had property, we can do something with it.
I think there's other things that needs to be dealt with, like what you're saying, staying together. And for me, I've only been here since December. When did you come on, Shay?
Late summer last year, I think.
Okay. I was not even aware about this application. We were not aware that the sign thing had been started last summer, and then all of a sudden came to fruition this spring. I mean, there needs to be continuity about things that's boiling, that's a possibility that's happening, so that we can be more informed as to do our job, to be prepared, so that we don't run off business, but we are prepared for it. It's just like, mm-hmm. I do know that, like I said last meeting, that there is, that supposedly there's about a 50% project already being done to make the downtown district a historical. So where does that play into it? Is that going to affect new building? I mean, things like that I think we need to kind of put it together, not, you know, all these separate little things going on.
Well, I think, Sue, what we can do is modify code, or at least recommend to the city council that code is modified, and we can consider applications.
We can't address anything on our own. It has to be brought to us.
Through code, we will affect how applications are treated when they come to us, because we will go by the code that we helped create as we see need. Lighting,
parking. These are things that maybe we should pay attention to what our code is in the city. So when things come along, we have good guidelines.
But that, I think planning means we should help plan for that type of a thing. I mean, when the city council has to have a overall 20-year picture, of land that's available and what can be done with the land around the city, that kind of thing. I think that planners should also be in that position. We also know that Walt was in trying to put the this Sharon. What was that? I mean, what was that lady's name from the League of?
Sharon Stewart is with the Oregon Main Street
program. Yeah, the Main Street program.
And has been working with the Yamhill Downtown Association. I think that's more economic development, not so much planning. So I think that's where you're kind of confusing the planning.
So why were we as a planning, as a group of planners going to be talking with her?
You guys brought it up with Walt, and so they decided to kind of bring the two groups together. The YDA does a lot of public events and economic development, so it's a little bit different. I can read some of the stuff from the municipal code, powers and duties. The commission shall have the powers and duties which are now or may thereafter be signed to it by the charter, ordinances, or resolutions of the city and general laws of the state. It's an advisory committee. To provide for a widespread citizen involvement in land use decisions, to assure effective two-way communication with citizens of land use decisions, to provide opportunity for citizens to be involved in all phases of land use decision process, to assure that technical information is available in an understandable form on land use and land use decisions, to assure that citizens will receive a response on land use and land use decisions. So it's what's in the municipal code is in regards to land use and land use decisions.
Can I make a comment here?
Building permits, subdivision permits, those types of things.
Hold off, please.
So it's a little bit different from economic development where you're growing your economy, and the YDA has been doing more of that.
I mean, I see that, but it's just like he was saying, if it's this for that person or this for that group or this, as a city, if we're planning 20 years out for how we're going to use the land around us as we're growing, then we also need to plan for how we can meld things together so that it works, so that you don't have a historical thing coming into play possibly. And then we're talking about, a service station downtown. And I know that this could be granted previous to the historical thing, but it could throw the whole historical thing off. You see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to say we should get together rather than be a bunch of separate little.
Any permits that come into the city have to conform to the municipal code or receive a conditional use permit or a variance. So if the historical program is going to be changing things, there would need to be changes to the municipal code.
Well, this reminds me, this discussion of land use reminds me that with your predecessor, we started down the road of addressing the urban growth boundary. We did a inventory of available land. I think we put some time into defining defining carefully what the boundary, existing boundary was. And we were kind of going down that road of trying to have our 20-year, maybe it's a few years less, 12-year inventory. And I think I brought this up before, and we get kind of fired up and said, yeah, we're going to go to the moon again. but then we kind of lost focus. Remember that discussion?
Boy, that does bring back some memories. I know part of what I wanted to do was to see if I could gather that information. I think we got sidetracked, if you will, with the subdivision, the sign code.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, a few other odds and ends. I'd like to speak to this whole issue, if I may, concerning working together. One of the things I was hoping to do was, you know, tonight Sherry Stewart couldn't make it. A conflict came up with her being on the coast. She was even thinking of zooming in, but it just didn't work for her. To kind of bring these groups together, I think the Planning Commission has a role. I think that role is to, you know, what sort of changes do you need to make to the code to make things work? And I think this might be a very good opportunity to kind of bring these separate groups together to just talk about, you know, where you are with the community. And, you know, I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit here. And I think it might be worthwhile for the Planning Commission to maybe just inform the council through staff that they're very concerned with downtown, concerned with economic development, concerned with preserving the small town, and maybe the council can provide some direction to the commission. Otherwise, I think we would wind up kind of spinning our wheels on this without any particular direction, goal, objective here. So that's just something that you might want to consider.
Thanks, Walt. They invited a representative of us, and I think I said I would go to the city council, and I will do exactly what you just said, that rather than us try to drive an agenda up, is hear what they want us to work on.
I think that would be fantastic, because if you lay that out, then the council will be made aware of the issues you're facing and the variety of issues that are kind of, there's a lot of moving parts here. And I think the elected officials need to be front and center on this one to help these various committees and everything work together for the same goal.
And I said I would be going, but I'm not wanting to exclude anybody. If all of us showed up there, that'd be great. And if we had a few different ideas, different voices, different ways of expressing things to the city council, I think that's appropriate. We can tell them who we are one at a time if you want to. So Sue, if you want to come to city council meeting next time, I'm going to be there doing what Walt just talked about. They want a report from us. And that's what I'll be there to do. And you can be there to assist me or be with me. I'll be with you. Okay.
And I'm not trying to mouth and insert my foot. I'm just saying that I've been in business a long time. And preparedness is something that is really important to me. And when I go into something like this or like the signing, and I don't feel like I've got all of the information, I don't feel like I'm making a good decision. I like to be able to think that I've done my very level best. And so you're saying that there was something that was a year ago that you addressed with Walt, and it got put on the side because of the subdivision, because of the signs. Where did that go? I mean, is it out of sight, out of mind? There should still be some kind of a list that somebody's keeping track of that these things should be somehow being brought up till they're dealt with. I mean, I think that's part of any management's job, and we're managing part of the city. So, I mean, that's just my opinion.
No, you bringing this up had me have this conversation with Walt. I'm feeling like I know better what I'm doing when I go to the city council because of it. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
One point, sure. You had talked about parking. I know that the county is doing remediation on the property over here. Do you know what I'm talking? The first and 47 Maple Street, right across from City Hall.
Okay, this used to be a gas station.
No, this one over here used to be a bakery.
It was a working gas station.
That's what they're remediating with the EQ.
Yeah.
I have no idea when the county is going to be done. We've asked them several times when they don't know, but they were asking the city if they wanted to purchase that property. So if the planning commission is interested in parking, you might make that recommendation that if that property comes open, that it is a parking lot and it replaces the one across the street if you're you know, looking for more parking.
That's a great idea. And if they could get the city to buy it, then we could pave it over and not have to find out if there's pollution underneath. That was a disaster.
That guy was
pumping water into people's tanks.
It's currently in remediation through a grant with DEQ.
Oh, good.
So once it's all done, DEQ will have deemed it as being okay to use it.
I'm glad there's a grant to pay for that.
Brownsland grant. But yes, that property is going through the DEQ remediation. You know, before the county would even offer to the city, if that's what they so desire to do, that remediation would be completely done.
Great.
And it would be good with DEQ. But that's, I'm just bringing that up because you mentioned
it's on my list.
Parking. So if that was something that you were wanting for the city, that's potentially whenever it's ready, could be something that could be turned into a parking lot.
And this lot here? Next to the city hall?
I don't believe that's...
That's not the city's.
Between the one here. With the bus?
Just right, next outside this building.
The gravel lot.
Yeah, the gravel lot.
Just right here where we park? Yeah, that's the city's, right there where we park. There's like, what, 4 or 5 spots there?
And that's all.
Yeah, there's not very much. Beyond that is someone else's. I think it's like a car lot.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Parking's on the list. We're getting near the end here, November 16th. Well, when do you think the person about downtown development will want to come to us? And are we going to do an early meeting? Or maybe we don't have to do that because we don't have a big agenda. So the November 16th look like a possibility there?
She said she will check her calendar. I will contact her tomorrow or certainly this week, see if I can get an update. We can do early or we can do regular time. So let me get back to Sharon on that.
I think regular is the first choice. It was only because we had this continuous we were going to bump it earlier.
Okay, real good. So I will contact her and get back with Sharon.
Okay, Shay.
So I actually did attend the city council meeting last week. And
I was supposed to be.
I don't know if you are aware, but they.
Walt spoke for you. You're all good.
They changed the language that we had sent on to them for approval on the signs. And they passed it. But what they had done was they changed so that the signs that exist would be grandfathered. If I understood that correctly, Walt?
Yes, that is correct. Now, I'm not sure if the mayor has signed that yet, but I did put that language in there. Under the direction of the council.
So if I'm not mistaken, our intention was to make sure that those folks had to come in for a variance so that we could put some controls onto the lights and times and things, if that's...
Actually, there was one proviso on that. They said they're effectively grandfathered, but they're still subject to the light illumination requirements. Even though the grandfather, they're still subject to those requirements. So it was sort of like, what battle do you want to fight? But you're going to meet the same requirements as all new electronic signs going forward. So they will be subject to that.
So the size will be grandfathered in. That's not going to change. But the illumination and the hours?
The hours.
Illumination.
About the hours.
Did not say anything about hours. It was just illumination. So if there's some point of The sign's too bright in the middle of the night or something. That can be an enforcement issue. They have to comply with those provisions.
Well, it's not a complete disappointment. But that's who we are. We serve at the pleasure of the city council. Mm-hmm. Be reminded. All right. November 16th, we'll do it again.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, indeed.
Rocky. We have public comment time. Are we not going to do that?
Oh, we did. That was this thing.
Public comment or not just on the public hearing.
Go for it.
Okay. If you're going to talk to the city council about the performance and the responsibility of planning commission, please review the municipal code that identifies what the planning commission is and identifies not only the responsibility, but how the planning commission themselves should view themselves, which by illustration, there was a mention made tonight about a serious parking deficiency. Well, the planning commission does have, in fact, the responsibility to look at that particular issue for the city. So put it on your agenda and determine how and the ways that you want to go about identifying remedy for the parking problems. Do that. Secondly, it appeared in tonight's public hearing, which was an extension of last month, that there were deficiencies with the plan. Who is the person who is supposed to do the checks on major items to see whether or not they even meet the code? Why would you even have a public hearing if you have a plan development that is deficient in many areas of the code?
I hear what you're saying, Rocky. I think that there was enough wiggle room in the meeting the intent, the words of meeting the intent of the Central Business District overlay, that the officials, the city officials, weren't on solid enough ground to just say, no, this doesn't meet code. You're going to have to go to the planning commission for them to make a decision on this, because it's not black and white. At a different commission could have decided, we can see that modifying this setback will meet the intent of the Central Business District overlay. That could have happened tonight, but we did not vote that way. So I think it was appropriate that it come before a deliberating body in this particular case. But if it was come to Walt, there was an application that said, we want to build a high rise. He's going to say, I don't know, probably Walt, would you even send it to us?
I would prefer, let me see, here's my philosophy. If there's a reasonable chance that it might pass or there's justification, I think it does require a public hearing, and the Planning Commission as the decision body certainly has the right to review, agree, or disagree with me on that. But frankly, if there's no way in heck it's going to happen, like putting a drive-in restaurant in a R2 zone, I will ask them not to apply, or if they do, they're certainly going to get a report from staff that recommends denial. So I try to be upfront as possible, but recognizing that I'm not a decision maker here. In some cases, I have to do a little guesswork on whether or not you would consider this. This one was really a matter of you had the flexibility to say yay or nay with the changes, and I can't make that decision for you. So again, this is a good example of proposals brought before you. They met all the requirements in the code, which I certainly reviewed. And it just came down to a matter of, would the commission find this acceptable for the Central Business overlay. And that's really what it came down to. But no, you're right. If someone is making a proposal that just really won't fly, I'm going to certainly recommend they save their money.
Thanks. Rocky, does that help?
In many jurisdictions, the zoning is one of the main criteria pieces. And any developer needs to know what the zoning is. And upon knowing that, then there is already prepared information that identifies all of the requirements associated with that zone.
I think the engineer there, I didn't want to throw him under the bus, but I was going to say, Melissa, your engineer let you down. He didn't know about this central business district overlay and tell you about it. You're and it wasn't, to it to wasn't well, mm-hmm. Maybe they just know they were dead in the water and they didn't want to address it because there was no way around it. I don't know what they were thinking that it, this was very viable. I don't know why the engineer let Moses spend their money. Okay.
Well, then there also is a word that can be used, and the word is contingent. And based on if you will perform this function that meets the intent, contingent upon that, we may approve it. Mm-hmm. But we have to see a complete package. I mean, I hope I wasn't misinterpreting, but this was piecemeal. You should have a complete package.
Yeah, and that wasn't complete, but we saw enough of the package that we just said, we don't want to open this any further. It's not going to work what we can see.
Okay, well, thank you for the time.
You bet.
Mr. Moore, I'd like to comment. In addition to the justification of the site, the plans for the site, there is no information, as you've already found out tonight, for lighting. There is no justification in the plans for the signage. There is no justification in the planning for a lot of items. And without the full package, how could you make a complete informed decision tonight? And so with that said, I'm basically reiterating what Rocky said, but in a different way. So many items were missing out of this package that you couldn't have, besides the decision you made tonight, you couldn't have made an informed decision about this package tonight anyway.
I agree.
Because there were so many holes in it.
We would have had another continuance to look at what the sign really about. Exactly. I agree.
Well, yeah. Even the measurements, there's measurements, they're not accurate. And they're showing the truck in the middle there and it's fueling the tanks. So you look at that drawing, it's going to take out half the parking spaces for it to even exit that. So you're going to get that guy because he's not coming in the middle of the night when nobody's there. He's going to come during the day and because they're going to be open from like 5 to 10 or something. And so, you know, here's that truck parked there in the middle. And then we're going to take out half the parking spots that we require them to have to even get that 18-wheeler of a
guest. So we can only consider what we're brought. And we did. And
it's moot.
And it's moot now. But just too bad it wasn't a better package. Shay, we've been waiting so patient.
Oh, no. Sherry Wilson's got her hand up.
Oh,
she's texting me.
Sherry, go ahead.
So I want to thank Sue for bringing up the situation with the Historic Society. I think it's very good to be cohesive with all entities within the city. And I understand what you were trying to say. So I just want to say that first. But on another point, we're talking about the city and ordinances. Are there ordinances about the city's appearance? Because if so, I have... You know, we have Dana, I don't know her last name, but she lives on the 2nd and Maple Street, which is, you know, Highway 247. She has taken up the whole sidewalk and the road all the way paralleling her house property with all this menagerie that I'm thinking this is dangerous. If somebody falls on her stuff, the city is going to be sued. I brought it up with Kim one day, and I was told, oh, well, the police went and talked to her, and she was like, oh, is this an intervention? And she went into her house, and nothing was done. I'm like, it's beyond an intervention. It's like, this is illegal for what she's doing. Another piece is Lillian's car lot, which you guys mentioned, the property next to City Hall, is a, supposed to be a business. Is there, do we have business fees? There's nothing been moved there for a couple years. It's a mess. It's embarrassing. That could be a parking lot right there. And there's also where the coffee hut is there, and that property, that property is commercially zoned. People are living in that building. That I remember when the people used to have a trading post there. And so they're just little pieces that I'm like, we need to get on the same page of what's happening in downtown, at least if we're not going to go beyond the downtown streets, which we could. But those are just some questions all of a sudden that came to mind with me. I'm like, we're talking about, you know, what's new businesses. Let's focus on what we have and what needs to be taken care of. So it's food for thought for down the road.
I'm not sure. I think I'm hearing code enforcement kinds of things and not planning commission under the planning commission umbrella. I correct me if I'm wrong, Walt, Sharon.
It's code compliance. So
yeah.
If they're
violation, so when is that going to be enforced?
You would have to address that with the code compliance officer. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like, I can have them contact you tomorrow, Sherry. Mm-hmm.
Well, Sharon, we know how that goes. I've talked with code compliance for my own situation next door, and nobody wants to do anything. So it would just be nice if there was some follow through and actually you feel like, you know, something's being done. I mean, it's embarrassing. We have the Oddfellows Hall now that's become a home. And I don't know how that happened. I thought that was commercial property. Any rate, it would be nice if the people in charge of the city would start to be a little more comprehensive about what's happening instead of just going, oh, well, we need to, the code compliance people need to take care of it. And then I'm told that we don't have a code compliance officer, and then we do. And then
we've always had a code compliance officer. And
who is?
I believe it's Officer Miller. I would have to check with Chief Graven to see who's currently assigned to that.
Okay.
But if you feel that your complaints are not being adequately addressed,
mm-hmm.
Speak with Chief Graven. If you do not feel that you're being adequately addressed there, you can come and speak in person or draft a letter to City Council, and then City Council can address it as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sharon. I appreciate your help there. But just, yeah, for future thought, it's like, you know, we want our town to grow, but it's definitely not a pretty place to drive into these days. So,
and the code enforcement is complaint driven. Mm-hmm. Filled out the written complaint forms.
Okay. Well, I'll try that and see if I get more of a response. Thank you.
Yeah, if you haven't filled out one of the written complaint forms, I would suggest you do that.
I've done that before and had ODOT involved and nothing came of that either. But yeah, that's a whole other story. So I know it's not the Planning Commission's issue, but I would just like it to be thought about maybe down the road if when you guys are talking about codes and future, that maybe there's some pieces put into for appearance. That would be great. Because I love Yamhill. I've lived here many years and I just see it deteriorating. It's just kind of very sad to me, but we can move on. Okay, thank you.
You know, I pulled up to that stop sign there on Main and Maple. And Highway 220. I looked down T&E and I looked at all the buildings. I said, you know, I like all the colors of the buildings right now. They've changed from blue to yellow over here. And I thought my quick glance, at least that part of town, was looking
color isn't a problem. I don't have a problem with color. I have a problem with junk. And
was looking pretty good. I just didn't want to end on a sad note.
Okay.
There are parts of town that I'm delighted by. There
people that live in the north end are up upscale.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Okay.
All right, we're gonna end this.
I have a seat. I have a